Jesus, it wasn't after I left the Adventist church that communion, the Lord's Supper, actually meant something to me. And after experiencing what we just experienced, I just can't help but think that Jesus never said, keep the Sabbath in remembrance of me. He never said, eat special K loaf because in remembrance of me. He never said to do any of the other things that were so important to us as we were growing up in the Adventist church, and now this whole exercise means something completely different. I realize that it's all about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. I have good memories of growing up in the Adventist church. I remember all the campouts I went on as a pathfinder. I remember all the potlucks, all the great meals that were prepared, haystacks, special K loaf, things that Baptists have no idea exist. But there was a certain dysfunction in the Adventist church that I believe a lot of people experience, especially in my generation, and I can only speak for my generation, but I know that the generation that was before me experienced this dysfunction, and the one that's going to come is experiencing the same dysfunction. And that dysfunction is that all of the evangelism, all the ministry efforts were based on preaching and teaching the distinctives of the religion. And therefore, a lot of people ended up converting to a set of beliefs. They converted to things like the religion, the culture, the church. They responded because they had an appeal to respond to join the denomination of God's special favor, but they never responded as an appeal to really receive Jesus. And I always felt kind of weird when I would hear other Christians who were not Adventists speak about their relationship with Jesus or what happened to them. They'll say, yeah, I got saved when I was 15 years old, and that was not a story that I had. Or they'll say, yeah, I received the Lord while I was doing this, and this happened, and that was something that was foreign to me. And I was like, man, these people are always talking about Jesus, but don't they know that there are other things that are important, like following these doctrines? And I mean, they're almost junior Christians, and we were the more superior Christians. I call it spiritual racism. Most of my friends, and I can speak for myself, and to this day, can't say that who are in the Adventist church. I can't speak for myself on that, but most people who are in the Adventist church cannot say that they have an assurance of salvation, and I know all of you can relate to that. They can only say that they hope that one day they will be saved. And that's just another thing that I praise God for, that assurance and what he's shared. A few weeks ago, I was filling out a membership application at Calvary Community Church. I've been on staff there since June of last year. And it dawned on me that I had not become a member of the church on staff. And it was starting to raise questions because... And so I was filling out the membership application, and there was a question. When did you are you a born-again Christian? And I checked yes. The next question was, when did you receive Christ as your personal Savior? And I put down the date, fall of 1994. And the next question was, are you baptized? I checked yes. Next question, when were you baptized? July 1991. I know you're laughing because you can relate to that. I had been baptized and was so-called a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, but I had not met Jesus yet for so many years. During my senior year in high school, that's when I actually met the Lord, or he called me out. And what naturally happens to most Adventists, or at least in my experience, is that when that experience takes place, you almost want to lean back to, well, now that I found the Lord and this is exciting, what he's done to me, what's going on in my life, and there's something that's happening, but the first thing that happens, or the next thing after that that happens, is that you want to go back to the distinctives. And that's the first place where I went. And I spent several months just going back to the distinctives. Well, now that I've accepted the Lord, I'm going to go ahead and start keeping the Sabbath better. Or I'm going to start doing these things now. I'm going to start reading from Patriarchs and Prophets all the way to the Great Controversy. And I dedicated myself to that type of study after that. During that time, that my friends who knew me knew that I was, prior to Christ, I was one of those guys who you'd warn your children not to hang out with because I was troubled. But plus, I was a pastor's kid, so of course that adds extra special uniqueness of sin. when I found the Lord, he changed my life so dramatically that all my friends started asking me what was going on. And eventually, there was a little bit of a revival, if you will, that took place at my academy. And kids, other students started getting baptized and started receiving the Lord to the point that they'd say, hey, will you stand in the pool with me while I'm getting baptized? Will you sign my Bible for me? And it was a great experience, and people started calling me Pastor Jonathan. And I hated it because I thought pastors had bad children and smelled bad and were poor and just was not a good thing. But because I started going back to the distinctives, I could not just wrap my mind around becoming a pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because I knew in my heart what had happened had nothing to do with what I was taught all my life. And so eventually I just kind of gave it all up. I said, you know what? I'll participate in ministry if it's music. And if it's music related, but anything but being called a pastor. And so I ran away from it. Several years later, I went to Union College for my undergrad and started a business in Lincoln, Nebraska. And one of my employees, Shad Bailey, was a Baptist minister. And he one day came up to me and said, you know what, I love the way you run your business. And all the guys who are in top management were all Seventh-day Adventists. And so he was so impressed with the ethics that we had and just the great people that we were, you know. And he says, you know what, I want to become a Seventh-day Adventist. And I was like, yes, hallelujah. I mean, this is someone who isn't a crackhead trying to become a Seventh-day Adventist. So as far as my crown was concerned, this wasn't cubic zirconia. This was a diamond. I mean, this was a real gem in my crown. Because I got a Baptist minister who was going to become a Seventh-day Adventist. And so he started studying, and I'll wrap this up real quickly. He started studying and started attending the Adventist church with me. And after a few months, he comes back to me and says, Jonathan, I can't become a Seventh-day Adventist because you guys believe in things that are not in the Bible. And I was like, no, everything we believe is from the Bible. It's not the perfect church, but it's the one that's closest to the perfect church. And so he started challenging me on doctrine. And I went and bought all my books I could buy, from Samuel Bakayoko to George Knight, to prove him wrong. Until finally I said, you know what, maybe I should start looking at the Bible by itself and looking at it from his perspective and objectively to see what the Lord really has to say. And during that period of time, the Lord started showing me scriptures that were like, this is totally against Ellen White. This is totally against what my father has taught me, completely against what they told us in Cradle Roll and Sunbeam and all those other little programs. I did not find the seal of God to be the Sabbath, but I found it was the Holy Spirit. I found out that there was a thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or something like that, whatever you want to call it, infilling of the Holy Spirit. I found out that there were just that to live is Christ, but to die is gain, and that when you die, you don't go take a nap, but rather you're with Christ. And that's what the text means. And just things like that started flying in my face. And finally, I stumbled across some websites that were out there and got to find out about people like Clay Peck and Richard Fredericks and Desmond Ford and all these people who had been persecuted and shunned and blacklisted for preaching truth. And my journey, my experience is still in progress, but all I can say is that Jesus is the best thing. That what I had before was religion, but now I have relationship. And religion has to do with where were you born, how many generations were also part of this religion, and religion has to do with where did you go to school and who was your pastor and who did you come to this church because of a prophecy seminar, or did your parents already know the truth? And Christianity is always about relationship, what Christ did and what he's willing to do in your life. And so I just praise God for that. And before I even just stop talking here, because I can talk forever, and they told me 5 minutes, but praise God for, because he's outside of time. I just want to thank... I'm not. I really want to thank the Lord. There's a text, I think it's in Corinthians, where Paul says that they all praise God because of me. And I'm like, wow, Paul. You know how people kind of write little verses after their name, after they sign their name? Some people might want to use that verse. But I want to praise the Lord for some people who are here tonight. I praise God for Richard and Colleen, because you guys really spend hours and sacrifice your lives for no real earthly reward to pour into the lives of so many people. And I thank you, Greg and Paula, because you guys just, there are lots of people who would not give up what you had going. Dr. Brantley, I thank you guys, because you have really just stepped out when it was difficult. I thank people like Pastor Mark Martin and Leslie, because they were willing to get cursed out, throw rocks thrown at them for leaving. I thank you, Dale and Carol, because you guys just have poured your lives into this. And if it weren't for you and what the Lord is doing through you, I wonder how many hundreds of thousands and millions of people would still be in bondage. So I praise God for you guys.